Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and welcome to the Box Hard Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Mikey Garcia.
This is the monster from the swamp, Regis Ruru Progre.
Hey, what's up? This is King Carlos Molina, former IBF world champ.
This is Michael, the bounty hunter, 2012 Olympian and your people's champ.
This is Charlie Edwards, flyweight champion of the world.
This is Fast Eddie Chambers, and you're listening to the Box Hard Podcast with my main man, Joey Cosmo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 432 of the Box Hard Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Coastman. I'm joined, as ever on a Thursday, by former heavyweight world title challenger, Mr. Fast Eddie Chambers. Eddie, how you doing this week, sir?
I'm good, my man. How about you?
Always good when speaking with you, Eddie. I don't think this is going to be too long of a show. There's not too much to review. There's not too much to preview. So let's dive straight into the review part. By the way, we're going to start at the Echo Arena in Liverpool, Merseyside, United Kingdom. It was live on Sky Sports. Let's talk about the undercard. Couple fights that weren't actually aired on TV. We saw Jack Massey return to the ring after a year out. He's now 21-2. He was able to TKO in just one round Steve Entere, who's now 8-2. Entere down prior to the stoppage. A lot of people expected Jack Massey to go the distance there, so to stop him in just a round is quite a statement, I guess. What else did we have on the undercard that wasn't televised? Mark Jeffers, now 17-0. Quite a predictable points win there. He's not really a big puncher. And he was in there with Jermaine Brown, who'd never been stopped. He's now 13-3. Jermaine Brown, like I say, Jeffers 17-0. Defense there of his English super middleweight title over 10 rounds. Also on the card, Aaron McKenna. Shame that we didn't get to see him with Linus Udofia in the end. Udofia had to pull out with an illness. In stepped late replacement Mickey Ellison, who, yeah, had to grit it out, man. I think he injured his one of his shoulders. I think he injured his right shoulder or his right arm or something. And, you know, for a large portion of the fight, he was just fighting with the jab. And obviously, you know, he's only had, I think, 2 days' notice. And he's in there with McKenna, who's, you know, in great shape, well up for a fight and probably a bit frustrated. And, yeah, Ellison tried to survive but ended up not surviving, getting TKO'd in round six when his corner threw the towel in. Good win for Aaron McKenna, but a frustrating one. Hopefully we see the Udofia fight rescheduled. He's now 18-0. Karis Artingstall, again, with a predictable points win over 8-2s. It was a much closer, a much more competitive fight, though, than anyone expected. I think in the end, if I'm not mistaken, the scorecard, it was just the referee, if I am correct, who scored the bout. So just the referee. The referee was John Latham. He scored it 77-75 to Artingstall. And basically, she won the fight because she knocked Furtado down in the first round with the last punch of the round, which Furtado was claiming was after the bell. I don't think it was. But yeah, Lila dos Santos Furtado down again in her career, but, you know, gets up and doesn't get stopped. I think that's two times she's been down now in a row, but has ended up getting up and, losing on points. But yeah, she's lost two in a row now. Artingstall now 6-0, but like I say, very close fight. She didn't look very good at all when Furtado was putting it on Artingstall, and particularly going to the body. Artingstall looked a bit uncomfortable in there. What else did we have? Jack Cullen now 22-5 with a draw because he lost unanimously over 12 rounds in that rematch against Zach Chelly, now 15-2 with a draw. Happy for Zach Chelly. He's picked up the British and Commonwealth super middleweight titles there. Cullen cut over the left eye in the third round. It's a fight to forget, to be totally honest. The first fight was, I don't remember too much of the first fight, but obviously it was close and competitive. Most people felt Cullen won. This time it wasn't even close. It was all Zach Chelly. Cullen seemed to be a little bit confused. maybe caught between styles, even though I feel like I'm overusing that phrase in recent podcast weeks. But yeah, he just seemed like he didn't know whether to be boxing at range or boxing on the inside, and then he seemed to be at mid-range a lot. I mean, Zach Chelly just had the answers for him at whichever range he wanted to fight at, to be honest with you. On the inside, Zach Chelly landed some big punches. I think Cullen was hurt once or twice, even though he disguised it well. But yeah, Zach Chelly just outworked him, and it was quite a puzzling performance from Cullen, who I would have, you know, felt, if I had to be pushed, would probably win the fight. But yeah, they go the distance again. 12-round unanimous decision for Zach Chelly. But like I say, it was a really boring fight, and a lot of people were on social media complaining during it. And then the main event, Natasha Jonas, friend of the show now, 15-2 with a draw. A split decision win over 10-2s against Michaela Mayer, another friend of the show, now 19-2. It was for Jonas's IBF welterweight world title. She's still the champion, of course. Yeah, I've got to be brutally honest here. I felt that Michaela Mayer did enough to win the fight. I had it either 7-3 or 6-4. I don't think you could give it a draw, even though obviously if you did, then Jonas would still keep her belt. I don't think, though, that you can give the fight to Jonas at all, in my opinion. I thought Michaela Mayer outworked her for many, many rounds, and there were times where Jonas did land some really nice shots, but nothing to deter Mayer. Obviously, as I was saying on last week's show, you know, Mayer was the bigger girl in terms of stature, and she showed a good chin. She took some good shots, and like I say, nothing deterred her from coming forward. She kept coming forward, kept putting the pressure on, and she kind of dragged the 39-year-old Jonas into her type of fight, you know. It reminded me, just before they started their ring walks, I was thinking back to Mayer when she got in there with it was like Fight of the Year, man, for 2019 or something. She got in there with Maeva Hamadouche. Cool, I said 2019, it was the back end of 2021. God, my head's all over the place. But anyway, that fight with Hamadouche, that was a really, really tough fight. It was a complete war, and she showed such a good chin there. So I knew that Jonas weren't really going to be able to get her out of there in terms of, like, knocking her out with a punch. It could have been a cut. It could have been, a you know, the towel coming in or whatever, just because she kind of was out of her depth at another weight. But, you know, providing she could, you know, she was fit and strong at the weight, which, again, she'd never boxed at welterweight before, but providing she was fit and strong, then, you know, I felt she was going to probably be able to take the shots of Jonas, and it was going to be a tough fight. And I did say it's probably going to go the distance, this one, if I had to say. Yeah, and I thought it was going to be a close fight. I think on the day I kind of edged it to Mayer slightly, and yeah, I did think she did enough to win. But like I say, they've given it to Jonas there. Gutted for Mayer. I kind of want to say don't ever fight in the UK again, because twice now she's lost very close fights that most people felt she's won, and they've both been in the UK. Obviously the first to Baumgartner, the second here to Jonas, and I think she should still be undefeated. She should be 21-0, and she should be a two-weight world champion now, but it's not quite gone to plan for her. Jonas, like I say, 15-2 with a draw. She wants a Katie Taylor rematch this year. We'll have to wait and see. Take nothing away from her. Big fan of hers, of course. And I've got a much better relationship with her than Mayer at the moment. Right, moving to the final card of the review part. It took place on Tuesday at the Edeon Arena, Osaka, in Japan. Over here, we saw the reign of Artem Dalakian come to an end. A lot of people celebrating this. He's now 22-1. He was dethroned of his WBA flyweight world title. He'd been a champion for several years, and he was dethroned by Saigo Akui, who's now 19-2 with a draw. Akui was the favourite going in originally. Then it tightened up around, you know, fight week. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, Akui maybe might have gone on to be favourite again. I can't remember now. It was very close, though, between the pair. But yeah, Dalakian lost that one quite wide, really, on points in the end. Over 12 rounds there, unanimously. Also on the card as well, we saw Tenshin Nasukawa, who once lost to Floyd Mayweather in a round in an exhibition where he was dropped three times and stopped in the first round, and then he started crying. He is now 3-0 as a pro, a third round win for him. His opponent, Luis Pacheco, retired on his stall, didn't come out for round four. Pacheco now 15-3 with a draw. And then, yeah, the main event, Kenshiro Taraji, now 23-1, a majority decision over 12 rounds there against Carlos Canizales, now 26-2, with a draw for the WBA Super and WBC World Light Flyweight titles. I felt Canizales nicked it. They had open scoring, which was interesting. And throughout the fight, I mean, Taraji, I think, started quite brightly. Then Canizales was ahead. He won a few rounds. I think he was doing quite well around, you know, rounds 3, 4, 5, that kind of area. And then I felt he closed stronger in the latter parts of the fight as well. A lot of people feeling like Taraji lost that fight, but somehow still remains champion. That is it, though, for the review part. I said it would be very brief. We're going to now welcome this week's special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the former British, Commonwealth and European welterweight champion. It is, of course, the Savage, Mr. Sam Eggington. Sam, welcome back on the show, pal. It's been a while. Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year to you too, mate. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Yeah, we last spoke back in December 2020, so it's been quite a long time. It was just before the Fear Fame fight. Since that night, you've had 6 fights, 5 wins, just the 1 loss. The 5 wins include 3 undefeated fighters in which you took away their O's and 1 former world champion. It really has been a crazy run. Let's talk about your most recent win, though, potentially the best performance of your career, when stopping the 20-0 with 19 KOs Joe Pigford. Yeah. Talk me through it, Sam. You looked unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we knew what was going to happen, if I'm honest. And I think anyone with half a brain did. I know when you look at his record, it kind of swung people a bit. But I think anyone in boxing could read through his record and sort of know what was going to happen. And I think it happened a bit earlier than what we thought it would. But I thought we knew that, you know, it weren't going to go the distance. Went a bit earlier than we thought, but that was on him, not me. But yeah, it worked out to our plan perfectly, if I'm honest.
I hear what you say there, but the thing is, Sam, obviously you're known for not having the best defence. You take shots, but you didn't take any shots. I think that's what the shock was. You were the puncher, you were the man inflicting the damage, and it was all one-way traffic. That was the shocking part.
What it was, I think what it was, we knew that, because you know, no matter who you knock out, you're not 19 people out in a pub car park. It means you can punch. You know what I mean? Don't matter who you've knocked out. So we were trying not to get hit, but we knew that once he got it back, no one knew how he was gonna react to that. Do you know what I mean? So we knew we could punch. So we weren't trying to take shots, but we knew once we put it on him that people would see things that they've never seen before. So we was trying to, you know, obviously to not get hit. But also, when we put it on him, we wanted to see how he reacted. And obviously, when we did put it on him, yeah, he folded. So yeah, we knew we could punt, so we tried to stay out of the way. But a lot of it is just pressure, just making sure he needed to punch. He was on the back foot. It weren't like any of his other fights sort of things.
It was a great performance, like I say. It was 8 months ago now, which isn't a super long time in today's day and age, but I feel like as a fighter, you don't want to go quiet for 8 months after a win like that.
Nah, I didn't, pal. No fault of our own, really. We got offered a few fights, a few dates, and we stuck to them. And then by the time the dates come round and we were told we weren't on, it was just too late to get another date. But it is what it is. Like you say, it's not too long out, but it's not what anyone wants, really. We could have, you know, we were on the crest of a wave there, and we should have rid it a bit. But again,
people draw states and they fall through, and it is what it is.
And during those 8 months, obviously your trainer John Pegg came out. He posted a video on social media. He said that Sky Sports didn't find you exciting enough. Everyone was like, what the hell's going on? He's the most exciting fighter we've ever seen. He did end up kind of retracting the statement. I think it may have been posted a bit prematurely. But what caused that momentary outburst, Sam?
Do you know what it is? I think John's quite... I try to find the word. He's quite... You know, he's in deep with it. Do you know what I mean? So he cares, I think, a lot. So when they're giving you opportunities and we're holding out for them, they don't like the fact that I'm missing out on opportunities, because it's something that he's told me to do. John's like, listen, we'll stick with Sky. They got the opportunity. Just defend it on their show and so on and so forth. So when they think we're wearing on, and because I don't rely on running my mouth, you know, big social media followings, big ring walk entrances, stuff like that. I don't rely on that. I rely on being exciting. So if people don't want me on, that's the only thing I've got. So that must be the reason why I'm not on. So John kind of said, obviously, it must not be exciting enough for your show. And he just said that on a whim. And then it just kind of snowballed into what it was. But again, John's he's very involved. He's very emotionally involved into his boxers. I've been with him for 12 years now, so you know, he's very emotionally involved in my career and my life in general. So when it feels like I'm getting took for an idiot or held back in any way, as much as I get irritated by it and frustrated, John does. So it is what it is, and you know, it's done now. There's no problem there, but yeah, it was just a blip in the road.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And obviously your next fight, which we'll get into in a second, isn't broadcast on Sky. It's going to be on Channel 5. Is that better or worse? Which network would you rather box on, Sam?
Honestly, pal, I'll box in my back garden as long as I'm paid. I say this to people all the time. People want to be top of the bill and on, you know, main event and stuff. Listen, put me on at 6 o'clock, you know, on Facebook Live. As long as you pay me, I'm there. I'm not here for the razzmatazz and the fame. I just want to earn some dough. I like my job. You know, I want to go out, have a little scrap and earn some dough. And that's it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And obviously...
I'm not in it for the social media following and, you know, being chased around the streets and that, like some people. I'm not in it for that. I could do this. Not fame, but let's say fame. Like, without the fame, I'd still do this job. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and yeah. People that know your story.
Some people are not like that.
People that know your story when you first walked into a gym, obviously, yeah, it all makes sense. Yeah, let's get to it. It'll be going down March the 1st in Telford. You'll be boxing Abbas Barrow over 12 rounds for your chance to become a two-weight European champion, which will be yet another...
12 rounds or less, mate. 12 rounds or less,
as always. yeah, it's going to be another fantastic achievement if you can pull this off. What would that mean to you, Sam? Because like I say, it's a massive deal, two-weight European champion.
Yeah, do you know what it is, mate? More than anything, I don't know if it's going to sound right, but it's more for other people. I know what I can do. So when I go out and win this fight, it's more that I know that other people don't think I'm going to go out and win this fight. Like the Joe Pickford fight, do you know what I mean? Like the Joe Pickford fight, no one thought I was going to go out and win that fight. So for me, I enjoy my job, win, lose, or draw. But I just like to show other people that they're wrong more than anything these days. And I would know I can go out and win this fight and I can do it well. And that's what I'm going to do without. I know that for a fact. So, and other people are looking at this fight like, you know, he had a good amateur career, all this, you know, he's on the come up. People are looking at me like I've been here too long and, you know, it's time for me to pack it in. So I just like the fact that I'm going to go out there and prove people wrong. And that's what gets me out of bed early. That's why I'm in the gym last. And I love that shit. I love that underdog thing, and that's what people are putting me down as. No matter what fight I'm in these days, just because I've had so many fights and I have had a 12-year career, people just put me as the underdog because people don't realise that I didn't turn over when I was 24. Do
know what I mean? I didn't turn over when I was 24, 25, and I've been here 12 years. I turned over when I was 18. I've been here 12 years. I'm in my prime now more than anything. So, yeah, people don't get that, I don't think. But again, I'm happy because I love my job and I want to go out and prove a lot of people wrong again.
And your opponent, Abbas Barrow, when he turned pro, he was expected to do big things. Obviously, his loss to Jack Caulkay was unexpected, but it was a split decision. You share a common opponent in Carlos Molina. Fun fact, yeah. I own the gloves that Carlos wore against Barrow that night. But what else do we know about Abbas, Sam? He's done a lot of sparring in the UK, a lot of training over here, obviously.
Mate, I personally don't know anything. I don't watch him. I don't watch them. I don't check their records. I just don't do it. I don't get anything out of it. Some people might. Some people are different. I personally don't. I'll watch a few 20, 30-second clips through training camp in the gym with the coaches. And, you know, he does this, he does that. So we've got to do this and do that. But I won't check them. I won't try and find anything out about him because you can overthink this stuff. Like I said to everyone else, I've got plan A. I don't have plan A, B, and C. Plan A, and I'm going to work around that. But if he's got plan A, B, and C to work around me, he's up to him. I've got plan A. My job is to go out and make sure that plan A works.
And I will say, the Carlos, obviously you both boxed Carlos Molina. He had a much closer fight with Carlos than you did, that's for sure. But yeah, it almost sounds silly asking this question to Sam Eggington of all people, but should fans expect to see a war this time?
It's hard to say, really, Pat.
It's not hard to say, Sam.
But, listen, we don't get paid over to him, I know that much. You know, he's got the amateur career. So it'd be very odd for me to come out and try and box his head off. I think that says a lot. We don't get paid overtime, pal. I'm not here to, you know, to make the numbers up. So an early night is always good. So, you know, put that down as how you want it. But I think it's guaranteed. I think. Early doors, I think he's going to stick on the back. But from what I've seen, he holds his feet quite a lot. He steps back once and he holds. So I think I'm going to catch fire. And I'm all up for that. Do you know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure he is. So I think we'll have a few cautious rounds. But I think in the end, come 4, 5 and 6, it'll be heated.
Yeah, no. Hopefully it catches fire. I'm sure it will. Without taking your eye off the prize, so to speak, there's obviously a lot of names in and around your division, Sam. I did want to ask, is there anyone on your radar? Like, if you could get a fight with anyone around those weights, is anyone up there for you or not really anyone?
Honestly, man, at this point, like I say, whoever pays the biggest check, if I'm honest, but like I say to everyone, pal, my whole career has been made on opportunities. We've never boxed, you know, to be mandatory for this, or we'll box this kid to be mandatory for this. We've just boxed who's been put in front of us. If we've been made mandatory, we've been made mandatory, that's fine. But a lot of the time, we've just boxed who's in front of us. If they've got the belt or the belt's been put on the line, we've boxed them. And it's gone well, you know, from the start doing that. I think once you start planning things, you know, I'm not great at, you know, knowing what's next because... I am that sort of person that kind of looks over and thinks, oh, well, this is next. And if I ever have had anything after a fight, the fight's normally gone tits up. So, yeah, I try just to kill one fight at a time because if you're fighting for something more when you know that, you know, like you say, if there's a big fight next or you're aiming for someone, you can kind of overthink these things, and I try not to. You know, boxing's a simple sport, mate. You get in there, you have a fight, you win, and you're on to the next one after this one. So, yeah, I try not to think about anything past the fight I'm at, because, like you say, it don't matter if it don't go well, then no point us anyway.
Yeah, no, sensible answer, to be honest, Sam. Just before we wrap things up, if you've got any closing words to the listeners, just before we let you go, if you want to sign out with a little message, take it away, my man.
I just want to say, you know, whether, you know, win, lose or draw, if you've ever messaged or ever supported or brought a ticket, I appreciate everyone. So yeah, just keep listening to this man, and you'll learn a lot about your boxing.
Cheers, man. As always, the pleasure is mine, mate. Thanks so much for your time. I cannot wait to see you smash it on March the 1st, and we'll speak sometime afterwards, my friend.
Appreciate it, Richard. I'll catch you in a bit.
Okay, now it's time for part two on this week's show. This part is the news part. Matchroom have announced a few dates for April and for March. March and April, I should say. It's their spring schedule. Couple of really good fights they've announced, actually. So we're going to start here with March the 23rd in Sheffield. It's a Saturday there. We're going to see Dalton Smith step in the ring with Jose Zepeda. That's going to be a great fight. I'm really looking forward to that one. Also on that card, we're going to see Sandy Ryan stepping in the ring with Terry Harper. And a bit of a step up as well. James Flint is the opponent for Campbell Hatton. So again, the date for that, March the 23rd in Sheffield. We're now going to discuss April the 6th. So yeah, this one goes down in Las Vegas, Nevada. Over here, we're going to see Diego Pacheco, 20-0, stepping in the ring with Sean McCowman, who has a record of 15-0, so somebody's O must go there. Sean McCowman, I think, was a guy who, if I'm not mistaken, was calling someone out recently. I think he made some headlines for calling someone out. I thought it was Conor Benn, but I'm not entirely sure now, because this wouldn't make too much sense considering it's a super middleweight. But anyway, whatever. Also on that card, the main event, Richardson Hitchens, 17-0 in a 12-rounder against Gustavo Lemos, who's 29-0. People will remember him knocking out Lee Selby back in 2022, retiring Selby. He's a good fighter there, the Argentinian. Should be a really interesting fight there. Again, the date for that is April the 6th in Las Vegas. We now move to April the 13th at the Manchester Arena. Again, all these fights are live on DAZN. It's a lot of fights to sink your teeth into. We're going to see Rhiannon Dixon on the undercard fighting for the WBO world title. She gets in with Karen Carabajal, who's 21-1. Her one loss came to Katie Taylor three fights ago. And the main event is Jordan Gill, who's on a bit of a run at the moment. Fantastic momentum after stopping Michael Conlon a few months ago. He gets in with Zelfa Barrett. No belt on the line, but that's over 12 rounds there. You'd imagine a big fight will be coming for the winner. Again, the date for that is the 13th of April at the Manchester Arena. And then finally, the 27th of April, we're going to see Jericho O'Quinn. I'm very happy to see this. But anyway, he comes to the UK, and it goes down at the Exhibition Centre in Liverpool, Merseyside. He gives a rematch to Peter McGraw. I did say I'm not entirely sure that we're going to see that rematch, because Peter McGraw, very good amateur, turned pro, didn't have a huge following. Lost on the road, obviously. We saw him lose to Jericho O'Quinn in a fight he was controlling every single second of, and then he got stopped with a punch from the gods. That was on the Rodriguez and Sonny Edwards undercard. And I wasn't too sure that we'd see the rematch, but we are going to see it. And Jericho O'Quinn's actually going to travel to Liverpool, the backyard of McGraw. So you'd imagine McGraw will win that fight, providing he doesn't get lackadaisical at any point. So yeah, good stuff there. Good busy schedule there for Matchroom. That's a lot of fights there announced. Not going to be cancelling my DAZN subscription just yet. We're going to move now though to the preview part. We're going to start here on Saturday at York Hall, Bethnal Green, the mecca of UK boxing. Over here, friend of the show, Casey Kadamy, currently 10-1 with two draws, steps in the ring with Jackson Chowkay, who is 23-2 with two draws. It's over 12 rounds for the vacant IBO flyweight world title. Kadamy, friend of the show, his trainer, Richie Sawyer, was on last week's show. He was our guest, and his former trainer as well. Big shout out to John Tandy. He'll probably be listening. So like I say, all the best to Casey Kadamy. He gets in with this guy here who who hasn't been stopped in his two losses, but to be totally honest, I looked through his record and I don't see anything outstanding on there, to be honest with you. Obviously, you know, he's from South Africa, 38 years of age. Been in there with a few, you know, mainly kind of African fighters, and the records aren't too pretty some of the time. I mean, like I say, his losses have come to 15-2 fighters, 7-0 with 3 draws fighters, and his best wins, I mean, he beat a guy who was 9-0. He's beat a couple of guys who were undefeated with smaller records, 6-0, things like that. But I don't know too much about the guy, in all honesty. But I don't think he's a fantastic fighter from the little bits I do know. But we'll have to wait and see. My prediction would be Casey Kademi to win on points. It's such a shame for Kademi, because I think he met his boogeyman early on in his career with Mr. Ayaz Ahmed. Obviously, people will know that the pair had 3 fights back to back to back, and you know, Kademi lost the first one on a majority decision over 10 rounds, and then they had 2 rematches which both ended in split draws. So he lost a lot of his, I guess, momentum and a lot of time. He wasted a lot of time in his career fighting Mr. Ahmed, who, again, I've said so many times, I don't think has the same kind of skill set, but has a very aggressive, relentless style. And, you know, Kademi, I don't think, hit hard enough to deter him from coming forward. And he's got that kind of fan-friendly style, Ahmed. And it's easy to give him rounds. And he really struggled with Ahmed's style. But anyway, since the 3 fights with Ahmed, since that trilogy, he's come back with 2 quick knockouts, Kademi. A second round one last time and a third round one the time before that. So that's been quite good. So he's going into this in good form. And, you know, Richie Sawyer said on last week's show, he's looking good. And he said it in a way where I know he really is looking good. So I cannot wait for that one. All the best to Casey. Moving now to the Ulster Hall, Belfast, Northern Ireland, United Kingdom. This one goes down again on DAZN. Let's start with the undercard. We're going to see Chev Clark. He is currently 7-0 with 5 KOs. He steps in with Ireland's Tommy McCarthy, 20-5. Yeah, McCarthy's in horrendous form. Once upon a time, he was a decent fighter, but he did get stopped last time to Mikkel Sislak. He put together 2 wins before that, but again, against, you know, complete journeyman. And then, you go back to him getting stopped by Chris Billam-Smith and then losing again in the fight before that to Chris Billam-Smith. I mean, his last really good win was over 3 years ago now, you know. And I think he's on the slide, really. I think Chev Clark might just be a bit too fresh for him. But I do think we're going to see rounds. I'd be quite surprised if Chev gets him out of there in the first half of the fight. I think it will go late. It may even go points. Also on the card, we're going to see Conor Walker. Obviously, he was scheduled to take on Cyrus Patterson in a rematch, but he's back out here. He's 12-2 with a draw. He steps in with the undefeated 9-0 Lloyd Germain. That's over 10 rounds there. Lloyd Germain, not a puncher, only 1 KO to his name. Also on the card, a man that is a puncher, Paddy Donovan, 12-0 with 9 KOs. I heard a very, very interesting gym sparring secret about him that I'm not going to divulge because I cannot be arsed with the controversy. But I tell you what, the person who he supposedly knocked out in the gym, you would not believe. But anyway, back to the fight. 12-0, he looks like a really good prospect. Great win last time out against Danny Ball. He steps in with Williams Herrera, who's 15-2 from Argentina. Lost his last fight to a guy who was 15-0. Other than that, you know, it's a bit of a poor record. But like I say, he's never been stopped. And his other loss came by majority decision over 6 rounds to an undefeated fighter. So he might be somewhat good, but I don't think he's going to be able to hang with Paddy Donovan, especially not over 10 rounds. I'd expect to see a stoppage there. He'd become the first man to stop him, you'd have thought. And also on the card as well, he's quite fun to watch. Lewis Crocker, currently 18-0. Good win last time against Tyrone McKenna. It's for the vacant WBO Intercontinental Welterweight title. He gets in with Jose Felix, who's 40-6 with a draw. Some people will remember him knocking out Gary Cully back in May of last year, on the Katie Taylor and Chantel Cameron 1 undercard. And he hasn't boxed since then, by the way. So he's undoubtedly a really big puncher. It's just going to be interesting because he's going to be very confident going back in well, I was going to say going back in Ireland. I mean, it was in Ireland, the first, you know, the first Taylor fight that he, you know, against Cully. This one is in Northern Ireland, so I don't want to upset anyone there. But he's going back to the same part of the world. I think he'll be quite confident. And yeah, he smashed Gary Cully to bits. You know, he was a much smaller guy, but was able to, you know, prove that power is very real. He's got 31 KOs from his 40 wins. So it's going to be a dangerous fight, that, you'd have thought, for Lewis Crocker. Yeah, he's been around the block, this guy, Jose Felix as well. Been in there with Pitbull Cruz, Isaac Cruz, and a few other guys. Been in there with Tyrone McKenna, Sandor Martin. He's got quite a decent resume in the last few years, so all the best there to Lewis Crocker. Could be quite interesting. And then the final card to mention, I'm going to come to you straight away, Eddie. We're going to touch on the main event first here. Jaime Munguia, 42-0. It's a defense of his WBC silver super middleweight title. I still don't understand what's going on and why he's not actually boxing for a full world title. But he's back here in a 12-rounder against the UK's and friend of the show, Mr. John Ryder, who is, you know, a very, very nice guy. Obviously, we saw him show his balls last time out against Canelo. Canelo couldn't get him out of there. You know, like I say, I think he went above and beyond to prove how tough he is. And he's back here. It's going to be a fun fight, but it's another very tough ask for John Ryder, especially at this part in his career. Gets him with another, well, Mexican monster, Mexican beast. I almost said beef there because I think I've said that too many times. But a Mexican beast. It's going to be tough for John Ryder. But I do want to see him win. If he can, it'll be great.
Yeah. This is not going to be as easy as, you know, obviously, I don't think people are going to think it is necessarily going to be easy, especially with how well John Ryder kind of did with Canelo. Not necessarily doing well in winning, you know, but in performing and in not getting stopped and, you know, giving him work at times during the fight. And I think that's going to be another one of those types of situations here. I think he's going to give Munguia some good work. He might actually give him a little more work than he wants, but I think in the end, Munguia should probably win. But it's not going to be an easy type of fight. You know, this guy's a tough guy. He's coming to upset the apple cart. I mean, he wants to do things that he wants to do something that, you know, most, obviously the other guys he's fought in the past, this young guy, couldn't do. Obviously take him out, maybe not, I don't necessarily think he would be able to stop him, but hey, I've seen stranger things, and Munguia's had some tough fights recently. He's got a lot of fights. I mean, he's still young, he's still got plenty of time, and he should be, like you said, Joe, he should definitely be in a major title fight at least right now, but he's still fighting decent competition and or good competition, especially in this case. So he's going to have to show his ass. You know what I mean? He's going to have to, you know, do some really good things here. He's going to have to prove that he belongs. And this is a good opponent to do that with. You know what I mean? It's not going to be an easy fight. But if he was to go out there and make it look easy, that would be a hell of a statement to make in his young career, even though he's got a lot of fights. So, yeah, you know what I mean? I think he needs to go out there and prove that he's head and shoulders better than Ryder, and he needs to maybe not necessarily get him out of there, but at least if he could get in there and perform and dominate even better than Canelo did, that would be saying a hell of a lot. But, you know, obviously the triangle theory doesn't necessarily work, but I do think that this will make it, it'll definitely make it a real good case for this kid going forward.
Yeah, you know, it is going to be a tough ask for John Ryder. Like I say, you know, he's been in a lot of tough fights, as has Munguia, by the way. I've just got this feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, but I've just got this feeling that Munguia might just get to Ryder in the second half of the fight. You know, I think Ryder has had that Canelo payday now. I think that was pretty much, you know, the best thing that could have happened in his career, really. I know he wanted that Canelo fight. He said everyone wants a Canelo fight, obviously for the money. He went to Mexico. You know, there's no doubt in this guy's heart he'll go anywhere, you know, to fight anyone. I don't think he's been scared of anyone in his entire career, Ryder. But I do feel sorry for him. He's just you know, he's been getting thrown in these tough fights. Obviously thrown in against Danny Jacobs, managed to win that one, a bit questionable. Thrown in against Callum Smith, got the loss, but a lot of people felt he won. Thrown in against Zach Parker, again, was an underdog, managed to win the fight. Thrown in against Canelo in Mexico, you know, took a real hiding. He was down, obviously, in the fifth round, got back up. He was cut, if I remember correctly, and managed to battle on to the end. And yeah, he did have some success. But I think this, I hope I'm wrong, but I've just got this feeling that this one might just be a step too far. I think there's no way in the world Jaime Munguia obviously gets knocked out. He's got a great chin, and there's no way in the world that Ryder wins on points here, because it's a Golden Boy show, and Munguia, you know, has been in a couple of close fights, to be honest with you, but seems to get the cards in his favour all the time. So I'm expecting it to be a bit of a war, as it always is with Munguia, and as it kind of always is with Ryder, to be honest with you. So, yeah, it's going to be a good fight while it lasts, but I expect... I've just got this feeling that he might get to Ryder. The towel might come in. He's had the Canelo payday now. This would be another big payday for him, but I think he's on his way out of the sport, if I had to say so. I haven't spoke to him. That's not inside information that he's on the way out, but I think once you've had that Canelo payday, I think, you know, you're not going to get another one, so... make the money while you can and then get out of it. And I think if things get tough, I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Sims throws a towel in. So I'm going to say there could be a stoppage here in the second half of the fight, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ryder doesn't get knocked down. Could be another chance to get those crazy odds that you can get for a stoppage but no knockdown. Also on the card as well, we should mention Gabriella Fandora, who I gave massive props to at the end of the year awards ceremony. She's currently 12-0. She defends her title on the undercard, the IBF flyweight world title, over 10-2s against the undefeated Christina Cruz, who's 41 years of age. Doesn't look 41. Hasn't really beaten anyone of any note, but I think she was quite a good amateur, if I'm not mistaken. She's got a really interesting nickname. She's the Hell's Kitchen Kid. But like I say, 41 years of age. I'd expect Fandora to be bit too big, bit too fresh. I mean, Fandora is massive for the weight. Like I say, she's 5'9", she's a southpaw, she can bang. She showed that in her last fight, knocking out the champion. And she's obviously got the, you know, big height difference in her favour here. So I'm expecting Fandora to probably get the stoppage there, which is 2-1. And also on the card, last but not least, we're going to see a guy called Darius Folgum, who is 9-0 with 9 KOs. It's for the WBA Intercontinental Super Middleweight title. It's over, apparently it's over 8 rounds, but I spoke to Alontez Fox, his opponent, 28-5 with a draw, friend of the show. He says it's 10 rounds, so I'm guessing it's 10, but it still is listed as 8. I don't know what the score is there. Fox seems to think that he's going 10 rounds. We'll have to wait and see, though. I have spoke to Fox. Obviously, you know, he's a really good friend of mine, and we can talk on a level, which is great to have that relationship with some boxers. You know, you can talk to him on the level and say whatever you like, really. You know, there's guys that don't like to hear the truth sometimes, and there's guys that you're close enough with that you can literally have a full-on conversation and there's no holding back. And I like to be like that with everyone. I have learned over the years that sometimes people don't like to hear, you know, opinions that oppose theirs. And obviously there's a lot of egos involved. There's a lot of proud guys that don't like to hear things. But, you know, I spoke to Fox and I said, look, you know, you can't really get stopped again. Like, this is a beatable guy, in my opinion. You know, this guy hasn't boxed anyone near your level. He's been banging everyone out. Fantastic, that's great. But those guys aren't you. And obviously, I've said it before, you know, Alontez Fox is 6'5". He's huge for the weight. He's got a great jab. Providing he's in good shape and he's fit and he can keep things behind the jab, then people will struggle. But the problem is, I think sometimes he's allowed guys to just walk into range. He doesn't put the jab out there. He allows them to walk into range and turn it into a dogfight on the inside. And that's not his game at all. So providing he can keep it long, he can make it interesting. But if he allows this big punching guy to get in range easily, then, you know, it's not going to go well for him, I don't think. But I'd hate to see him get stopped here, but you know, Folgum is the big, big favourite. Alontes Fox is 7-1 as an underdog, as far as I'm aware. All the best though to Alontes Fox. That's my man, and that is where my that's what I want to happen. I want him to win. That's my man. That's where my loyalty comes in. But anyway, that brings the preview part to a close. In part one, we did the review part. Then we welcomed our special guest, the Savage, Sam Eggington. It's been a short show, like I said. And then, yeah, we did the news. Matchroom have announced a few exciting fight cards there throughout March and April. And then we just wrapped up the preview part. There hasn't even been too much for Eddie to say. But anyway, that brings it all to a close. The final thing for me to do is to come in with the outro, which I'll do in just a few seconds. Okay, and this wraps up episode 432 of the Box Hard Podcast. I've been your host, Joey Coastman. Eddie Chambers has been with me for the duration of the show. A huge shout out to this week's special guest, the former British Commonwealth and European welterweight champion, the Savage, Mr. Sam Eggington. The biggest thanks of all, though, goes out to you, the listeners. Thanks once again for tuning in. That's about everything from myself, though. Enjoy your weekends, people. Stay safe, and we shall see you all again same time next week.